Wonderful. I've got a good word for you this morning. I'm excited to bring it. I'm so grateful to have the privilege to do that, you know. It's an honor. So address the body, the family. We are a family. It's wonderful.
We have to stay teachable and flexible, you know, and willing to. We were just talking about that. Open to fresh revelation from God. We don't have it all figured out. And so Father continues to open our eyes to truth, you know, and it's exciting. Things that you're going to need to know to liberate you. I love this. I can testify. You're looking at a free man. The Holy Spirit liberates you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit of the is, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty, there is liberation, right? And so he wants to move into every area where you're in bondage and set you free. That's his job. And I love it. Free from what? Condemnation, guilt, shame, the past. It's gone, man. Isn't that good news? I just love that. So you're looking at a man that's learning to be free in Christ and not go back to the old bondage and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage, right? That's what scriptures say. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. This is Galatians 5:1, wherefore Christ has set you free. And don't go back to the old ways of doing things. Amen? He's liberating his church, and he doesn't want us to return to relating to him in a way where we're trying to please God. We're relating to God knowing that we already are pleasing to God. Big difference. And I believe it, don't you? Oh, I hope so. We're going to all catch up. We're going to all get on the same page together and enjoy him. Praise the Lord. Just a closer walk. Is that all ready, Matthew? After all that? My humble plea.
life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. About the world is growing, oh, his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Shout to the Lord. I'm just thinking about how grateful we should be, you know, and we are, that He sought us. He never gives up on us. He kept pursuing you and I, and He's pursuing those that you love, those you're praying for. Don't underestimate the work of the Holy Spirit. He's, you know, He that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. I like that verse in Waymaker. It says, even when you can't see it, He's working. Even when you can't feel it, He's working, always working. I believe that, don't you? You got that up yet, Matthew? Shout to the Lord. My Jesus, my Savior.
Lord, there is none like You. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelters, You're the tower of refuge and shade. Everywhere, all that I am. earth they'll sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the sea.
That mountains bow down, circumstances bow down to God, difficulties bow down to Him, sickness bows down, cancer bows down to the name of Jesus. Nothing can stand before the Lord. Speak to the mountain, the Bible says. Speak grace to the mountain. Right? O Zerubbabel. I like that. Song called I Speak Jesus. Let's just go into intercession mode. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind.
I just want to speak the name. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus. Oh.
Some of us don't know him that way either. You know, we owe it to the world to represent the Father because there are strongholds in people's minds that have blinded their eyes. The God of this world has blinded the minds of people, and they need to see through us clearly who the Father is. Amen? That's so important. Let it be in their face who he is daily. Amen. That's so important. You're so good, Father. Amen. I love that. I was just thinking about those strongholds, blind places. Holy forever, Matthew. Let's do that one.
A thousand generations, they're falling down in worship to sing the song. Lord, gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy. We're lifting high. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above. above them all. Your thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever.
Your name is high, your name.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, it stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy.
Spirit, like the wind that blows, you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know where it's going.
Amen.
And that's the liberty of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to learn to be released from restrictions and inhibitions, right? And just follow the blow, the wind that's blowing in the direction it's going in. Amen?
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit. That takes trust. You know, a bit of risk and a lot of faith. But it's the way it goes. It's how it works. You know, sometimes obedience comes before the manifestation or the miracle. The Levites had to actually get their feet in the water before it parted.
Yeah.
You know, get your feet wet.
Yep.
Step out and believe God to do the miraculous. You do your part, he'll do his. Be obedient, and he'll do the rest. Oh, isn't that good?
Amen.
I love that. I just love that. Wow. I'm grateful for the songs that are coming out in the body of Christ. These are some of the newer ones that are... Aren't you good, glad for these? They're wonderful. You know, Chris Tomlin, and Crystal Gale, and all them people. They're wonderful. Love God. Gone through heavy stuff and learned things, as we all have. You're amazing, Father.
Hallelujah.
To bring us through.
Yeah.
Yes, what did our old pastor's wife used to say? You know, he never... He always takes you through. He never leaves you, you know, in that spot. She said it a whole lot better, but praise the Lord. I'm so grateful. You want to do one more song?
Yeah.
I like this song of Jesus Messiah. I like the first verse. It just says we are righteous in Him.
He ransomed the whole world to himself. The world just doesn't know it yet. And we're responsible to tell them that God has made peace with the world through Christ. And he has offered everyone an invitation to come in to his family. See, in the garden, he lost his family. On the cross, he redeemed his family and restored it back. Amen. That's so true. And that's what this blood and this body is all about, to celebrate. It's a celebration of the gratitude that he has done for us. He accomplished in Christ. And I love the word, it is finished. I mean, it is done. It's finished. So we rest in that. Bless the Lord. Ron, maybe you can pray over the, I don't know how we're going to do this, but over the elements, and we'll just distribute them.
Father, we just thank you so much for this time. And we just pray, Father, as we prepare to take the elements, that our hearts, Father, would be prepared and ready. Be open to receive what you have for us right now, today, so we can move forward.
Yes.
Not that we would stay in the same place that we're at, but today would be a new beginning. And Father, we just pray over these elements. We thank you for the blood that you shed for us. And may we remember why you shed it, because you love us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for that. And we pray as we, Father, take the bread, that we'd be reminded of your body that was broken for us. We thank you for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As Sandy comes up to the piano, I just want to, I've got one, bro, on attached. Just want to remind you that I preached a sermon last week, and the title out at the Bridgeville Baptist Church, and the title was Internal Witch Hunt. We're not here to introspect and try to find fault with yourself. That's not what this is about. What it's about is to focus on what Christ did for you in forgiveness. And go ahead, Sandy, anytime. Forgiveness and no condemnation, right? All judgment has been lifted from off of you. God wants to lift the heaviness and the weight of condemnation from your life. He no longer wants you heavy under the bondage and the fear of punishment. It was taken for you on the cross. Amen. I want you to know that it's a celebration of what God has done through Christ. And we can boast in what he did, not in ourselves, but in our Son, the Son of God. Oh, he has made you right with God. He has declared you innocent, holy, and righteous. We just sang about it. Now believe it. Begin to just let your mind activate that, and receive that. You know, when you eat something, you are partaking of it and taking it inside. So I just pray that over all of us, that our belief systems, where they're incorrect, will begin to be corrected and adjusted. Places where you aren't believing the right things, that isn't lining up with the Word of God, that he will expose those things to us in love, and begin to sort out for us as we're growing, and we're already in this process. It's not like something new, but we're sorting out what's true from what isn't. What you've believed sometimes for years, doesn't matter how long you've believed it, it doesn't make it true. And it doesn't even matter how hard you believe it. It doesn't make it true. There's a lot of people believing a lot of things very, with all their hearts, very sincerely, that are sincerely wrong. It's the Word of God that we need to align ourselves with. Am I talking truth today? So it's the Word of God that needs to bring us into alignment with God's heart, you know? Amen. That's what this is about. Don't go looking inside to find fault with yourself, because you will. Look away to Jesus, who is the faultless one. And you begin to assimilate into you who he is. And you find yourself without fault. You find yourself righteous as he is righteous. You must find yourself as holy as He is holy. Now that's a mindset, isn't it? That's a new mindset. You've adopted a fallen mindset from the garden. All of us did in Adam. And so our life journey is a process of removing the old mindset and putting our new mind on. The mind of Christ, right? Amen? So, praise God. I want us, I don't care who says this to you. It could be a donkey. But we need to know these truths. We do. So that we can better behave ourselves in Jesus. We can behave more like Christ as we believe we are more like Him, you see? Your behaviors, don't struggle with your behavior. We're all inadequate, we're all inferior, yes, but He isn't. And so in Him you can be adequate. And, you know, and so, and we're not struggling. We're not struggling. I just love that. We're receiving from Him. By faith, with a new mindset, we're going to receive. Yes, glory to God. Hasn't this been fun? So comfortable. We're all, like I said, we all feel inferior at times. And the sermon I'm going to preach to you is how you break out of that inferiority and inadequacy and don't struggle anymore. That when you see yourself in Christ and Christ in you, is true, and in you is the hope of glory. So, how about Fred? I know, let's see, Ron already prayed over the elements, so I guess we can just...
You pray over it and we'll go for it.
Okay, we'll go for it, he said. You pray over it and we'll go for it. So, this is representing the body of Christ. Aren't you glad he was willing to go?
Yes.
Oh, man. Thank you, Father, for your willingness to suffer for us so that we might know the Father. God is introducing the whole world to Himself, reintroducing us to the Father again that we lost. We all lost our Father, and we're finding Him again through Christ. So let's take this as a representative of His suffering. Amen. So... I pray God make you aware of the good things He's put inside of you. Things that you never thought were true about you that are true, that have always been true. And the Father wants you to know as good as He knows what's in you. He sees Christ in you. Now it's up to, He wants us to see ourselves the way He does. So with that in mind, may we learn to be teachable and open to truth and open to fresh revelation from His Word. Precious blood that justifies us, that declares you innocent. Innocent. I said innocent of all guilt. Amen. Amen. Let's take the blood right now, or the cup that represents the blood. And that's a big deal. That's what righteousness means. It's just as if I never sinned. Amen. I had a revelation on this word, behold. Behold is in the Bible about 1,200 times or more. There's one verse that says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold. That means, don't miss this. Be sure you catch this. All things have become new. What are you supposed to look at? Your past?
Nope.
What are you supposed to look at? All things that have become new. And that's all the Bible gives us permission to do. That's called mental health, spiritual health. If you're looking back, you're mentally ill. You know what I mean? It's true. Father wants to free us from all that. So you either got a fresh word from God or you don't. If you haven't heard from Him, don't preach until you do.
Thank you. Good word.
The Bible, Jesus said that life is in a proceeding word from the mouth of the Father. And that's what we need. We need ministers. And I pray for a man who knows God to fill this pulpit. And when you've heard him, you'll know you've heard from God. There's a difference. There is a difference. Amen. And God is, by God's grace, he's going to bring the right person. And I trust God for that. And not only, I'm going to just say this, you didn't ask me my advice or my counsel or my opinion, but I'm going to say this, be sure the wife is in it too. Yeah. Be sure that she's involved, that she wants to be a part of this, right? Yeah. That's very important. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So there you go. What I have to share with you is important. And I want to talk to you, maybe more than preach at you, how I heard a teacher share about how Christ was the sinless Lamb of God, our sinless sacrifice. And now God has placed you and I into Christ. God, Jesus is pleasing to the Father. Jesus is mature. Jesus is sinless. And because you're in Christ, you are mature. You are sinless. And you are already pleasing to the Father. Yeah. Not by virtue of your own goodness, but because you're in Christ. All those things that are true about him are true about you now. And guess what happens, starts to happen to you? The weight of condemnation begins to lift. And you become liberated. And for once in your life, you might spread your wings and fly as you were created to. The Holy Spirit wants us to soar with him in places, in heavenly places, right? I just think that's important. And so this has helped me. To see that it's not, you are becoming what you already are. You're just becoming aware of it now. The Holy Spirit is pointing out to you the good things that are true about you in him. If he says you're sinless, that just means if you disagree with what he's saying, you know what I mean? You're wrong and God's right. Yeah, that's right. Your opinion stinks. Get rid of it. Amen. And stop looking for what's wrong with you and start seeing what's right in you. Amen.
Amen.
That's so important. That's mental health. That's spiritual health. That's emotional health and well-being. You can walk in peace when you believe the right things up here. You'll begin to experience the right things down here. Amen. That's so liberating. So important. Oh. You know, it's true. And why is this so important? Because it impacts your behavior. Behavior is a result of belief. What is your belief system? Check it out. God will begin to reveal to you what's true, what's lovely, what's of good report. That's in Philippians 4:8. Those are the things you're supposed to dwell on. The things that are true, pure, noble. Those are all the things that are true about you in Jesus. See? And so then the God of peace will be with you, it goes on to say. It's a result of thinking right. Right believing produces right behaving. You can't do it the other way. You can't behave yourself into right believing. That's called religion 101. And it's dead. But you can believe yourself into right behavior. Amen. That's called grace. The definition of grace that I've come up with that I like the best, it's God's influence on my heart that produces results in my life. Yeah, is divine influence on your heart. It's an inside-out job. God does an inside job. And it shows outwardly. He does it. Kingdom of God is within you. You pray in the closet in secret. God will openly reward you publicly. You see? It's internal first. And what's going on inside of you can't help but be shown on the outside. It's true. When you know you're loved, guess what? Love is going to flow out of you. Effortlessly, naturally, unforced. Oh my. I don't want to be people know when it's real. People know. They don't care what you know till they know that you care. You've heard that before. And so, let's get the compassion going. The words will come out of that relationship, right? So, that's important. Our influence in people's lives, is it going to be a result of our friendship with the world? Yes? Friends of sinners, you know what I mean? Not a friendship in the sense of, you know what I mean, being worldly. Wow. So, this idea that I've already, in His sight, right, changes everything. Changes everything. So let's look at what God did. See, this came from Romans 8 that says what you could not do and what the law could not produce because it was weak through our flesh, God did. God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sin and for sinful flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who by the Holy Spirit, He will meet those requirements in you. It's not you trying harder. You know? So, what did God do? Let's take a look at what He did. All right. First of all, this is one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. I kind of like it worded this way. But He has placed you in Christ. For our benefit, God made Him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. Aren't you glad? He made us pure and holy, and He freed us from sin. So, He has been made unto us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Sanctification isn't a process. It's a person. You were placed in Christ who is sanctified. Sanctified you already. I think one of the worst things the church has believed is that we don't yet have what we have already been given. And it's been deceptive. We're pursuing something that God has already given you and I. And what He wants to do by the Holy Spirit is to make us aware of it. Make it real to us so we experience it. So, and that's what He's up to. He is, now I like this, that's a friend of ours that we all know, if I told you her name. She said, I'm in the deconstruction mode right now. Because we catch so much religious stuff, beliefs that aren't true, things about the Father that we used to think that we believed about Him. And now He's saying, I'm deconstructing all that for you. I'm going to get rid of that in your life. And reconstruct what's right. Praise God. That's what He's up to in the church. I know many people that have been in the church for years who are in deconstruction mode. Doesn't mean that we throw everything out, but there's a lot of stuff that we should. You know? You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you do take the meat and leave the bones. My old Pastor Fred used to say, take the meat and leave the bones. Not everybody's going to say everything just right. Well, take what's good in that thing. I'm telling you what, I'm open to everyone because I think there's an aspect of God, you know, that He wants to show us.
And we might disagree with a few things, but doesn't mean you throw the whole thing out. You know what I mean? You are perceptive enough, and you've been around long enough to know what's valuable in what they're saying and extract that from what is not. Amen?
Amen.
So don't just throw everybody out. Because you may end up
throwing a part of God out, an aspect of Him that He wants you to see, and He may be using someone that you might not like
to show you something, an aspect of Him, a dimension of Him. And I'm hungry enough for God that I don't care where it comes from. If it's true, I'm going to eat it up. I want it. I want to learn. I want to grow. You know, let's go on to the next one. Okay, so this is the next one. This is another one. We just sang about it. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's what God did. He made you right with Himself. And I'm tired of these internal witch hunts. I'll tell you something that I experienced. I wasn't feeling very... I was on the funk. Just emotionally funk. Not very spiritual. Feeling dirty and disgusted and busted, you know. And I started to look inside. Oh, what? There must be something wrong. I turned it introspective and I started to try to figure out what's going on. And God said, stop it. God said, stop it. That's not your job. That's my job. Quit playing Holy Spirit. He will point out things if He wants to. But don't you do it. He says, stop it. Let it be. You can't fix it. Look to me. Look to what's good in you. Cultivate an awareness of the righteousness of God in you, and those things will take care of themselves. You're no longer giving attention and focus and feeding the problem. You see the deception in that? You become sin conscious. Grace is righteousness conscious. Law is sin conscious. And becoming more sin conscious is empowering the very problem you're trying to get free from. You can't just dissect it. And, you know, it's called the paralysis of analysis. And it will kill you. He's saying, quit it. Quit looking at that stuff. Again, like I said, unless He brings it to your attention, it's not going to help to analyze it, to dissect it, to try to figure it all out. Amen? Am I talking to anybody?
Amen.
Oh, good. I thought I was alone here for a minute. Praise God.
Amen.
I think it's a pretty... All things are common to man, right?
Right.
Ooh. Temptation is common to man. Right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing God says in James. See, the word tempted means to test, to try, to scrutinize, to find fault with. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God does not scrutinize you for fault.
Right.
He's actually trying to point out to you the things that are right about you in the Holy Spirit. He wants you to become consumed with what Jesus did for you, not what you didn't do. Amen? Quit looking at your failures. We all struggle with inadequacy and failure, you know, and that's human, the human condition. But this is what broke me out of that thing. I started looking at His sinlessness, His maturity, His righteousness, and His pleasing to God. And God said, that's what's true about you, Michael. And I said, praise the Lord. All this time I've been struggling to be pleasing to you, only to find out that I've always been pleasing to you. The moment you were born again, God had a smile. He was so happy with you. He's been pleased with you ever since you started.
That's right. Yeah.
On your journey. So you actually start from the finish place. You finished before you even started. You know what I mean? At the beginning. That's what I... And you know what? We aren't told that. The church gave you the best that it had at the time. And you're pretty much limited to the experience of the leadership that you have. And so their experience of God is all that they can give you. They can't take you any further than they've been. And much of the time, they didn't know him either. They didn't know what they were talking about. They would slap more bondage on you because they were in bondage and struggling with the concepts of God themselves. And so we ate up what was given to us, thinking, you know, that was true. They must know more than me because they've been around a little longer than me. Surely they know more than me. Not necessarily. Is that okay to talk like that?
Yes.
That's been my experience. And so, out of that has emerged this passion in me for truth, to give away to the body of Christ what's real about my Father, the things that Jesus has done that's true about you, the way he views you. He sees you sinless in his sight, righteous and holy and pure and blameless because of Jesus. And that's the God I know. My Father, he's never changed, but my view of him has. My concept of God is always in a morph stage. Why? Because he's changing my lens. He's maybe, you know how you do in a binoculars, you turn, dial it in so you get more distinct and more clear, you know, no fuzzy lines. There's a verse, Matthew, I know I'm going to pick it out of the sky here, but it's 1 Corinthians 13:12. Look at this one. This is so cool. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Do you see it's progressive? You started out dim, but you're starting to see, focus his face. And in his face, he's showing you your face. He's showing you what he sees in you. Amen? Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. The Father is going to show you fully what he's always known to be true about you. And you have failed to see, right? Amen? This is cool. This will liberate you. We are becoming aware of what we already are and always have been in Christ. That's the thing the Holy Spirit is doing. He's starting to manifest. And we have to believe it's true. Quit thinking. You know, there's another verse. It's Philemon verse 6. I want to take you to that one. Thanks, Matthew. Here's what we have permission to acknowledge. Do you see it in there somewhere? Maybe it's at the tail end of something. I can quote it. For God... Okay, well, here it is. Well, that's another good one. That's at the end. That's Philippians. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. That's what I'm talking about. Man. And you are full of the goodness of God. You are. And he wants to make you aware of it. Philemon verse 6, it basically says this. There's only one chapter. Philemon is not a very popular, I don't know, it's preached from book. But it just says this. That the communication of your faith or the sharing of what you believe will become effective as you acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what you have permission to acknowledge. The past is gone. All things have become new. And that's what you're to consume yourself with. The new things in God. The new things in Christ. That's all you have permission to do. And if you're not doing that, repent. Change your thinking. Because it's doing you harm. That kind of thinking is binding you up. It's inhibiting you from being who you really are in Christ. The beautiful thing about believing the right thing is you discover your true self. You become free. You become joyful. You become this person who is exuberant and passionate. You're looking at a free man. I mean, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I want more, Jesus. Just keep it coming, Lord. You know what I mean? It's like, and what kept me down, kind of dragging around and going through the motions of life, that's not the experience God wants us to have. It's a result. That kind of living, going through the motions, is a result of believing the wrong things about yourself. But as you step into the new things of God, you become joyful. You become liberated. You become uninhibited in sharing anything with anybody, anytime, anywhere. You love people. And they know you. They love you. And they know you love them. That is representing our Father.
Praise
God, yeah. To a blind, deaf world. Mm. And we as a church need to grab it. Amen? You get it? Are you getting this? Amen. Oh, I'm so grateful. God wants us to walk with a spring in our step. You see, that condemnation and guilt and that guilty conscience causes you to weigh, it weighs you down. It causes you to stoop and walk with your head down. No joy, no peace. Just going on, plodding on. You know what I mean? It's not the way to live. God wants to lift that off of you. And it's through the right belief systems. He will begin to liberate you. And you will emerge as a brand new person. Your true self. You know, a beautiful thought. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. Why? Because there's a reason for that. It's because it's in still waters that you look in and you see what He's seeing in you. You peer into the water and He is reflecting back to you what's true about you. Things that you never saw before. The Bible is a mirror. The Word of God is like a mirror that is reflecting back to you His likeness, His image, His opinion, His point of view, His estimation of you in Christ. He is seeing things in you that you need to look at. And by golly, don't forget. And James, now there's one, James 1, I think. Matthew, you got it there somewhere. And immediately forget James 1. Give the mere word your undivided attention. Do not underestimate yourself. No. And it goes on. You realize that you are looking at yourself, but for the one, it seems to just too good to be true. Yes. So much of the time we hear this stuff and we go, oh, that's somebody else. That ain't me. You talk yourself right out of what's true. This is just too good to be true. This can't be true about me. Right? And so you go back to the old ways of thinking, and I'm telling you, stop it. God wants you to set, God wants to set you free. He says, it's so good, it is true. It is true. But for the one, it seems just to be good to be true. This person departs back to the old way of seeing themselves and immediately forgets what manner of person they are. Never giving another thought to the one they saw in the mirror. We have to give another thought to what we see there. He says, you're righteous. You're in me. You're accepted and approved and beloved. That means highly favored of God. Amen. What else does it say? Is there any more of that one? The other is mesmerized by what they see. Captivated by the effect of a law that frees them from the obligation to old written code that restricted them to their own efforts and willpower. All right. James says it, you know, in a way that we all know. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and is a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, get to be a poetic performer of what I'm talking about here. Walk out your righteousness. Walk out your purity. Walk out your sinlessness in God. Because I'll tell you this, when you believe you are sinless, you will sin less. It's true. Sin is a deceptive thing. The more you try not to, the more attention you give the problem, and the harder it becomes. That is the irony. That is the irony of the law. It shows you what's wrong, but doesn't give you any power to do it right. You know that. You know these things. But grace shows you what's right and gives you the ability to perform that, behave out of that. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, that's powerful. That's powerful stuff. And a lot of this come out of pain and tears in my life. You respond correctly and navigate through the pain you have suffered through, and you'll produce in you a passion that you've never had before. A burning fire that is produced from the pain you've been through. And out of this passion, you will discover your purpose in life. God's purpose for you. Pain, passion, purpose. Amen? That's right. I borrowed that from somebody else, but I liked it. Because I've experienced it in my own life, you know? So the very thing that you suffered through can become your passion and your purpose. It produces something positive in your life. You know, like Joseph that said to his brothers, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. To bring, to preserve you, to preserve this family. And a lot of people, they don't intend, you know, they're well-intended. They don't intend on misleading you, but they don't know any better. They just, I'll tell you more. I think there are many preachers that go but are never sent. If you don't know significance from your father, you might need a title to make you feel significant. You might need a position to make you feel important. You need to get those things from God. Not a title or a position. There, I said it. And it's important because the Bible speaks like this. How shall they preach without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How lovely on the mount, as it is written. This is Romans 10. As it is written, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. If they don't bring good news, it isn't gospel. It's got to be good news. Maybe this is something that you need to think about as we're choosing a pastor and a leader. They better come with feet on the mountains that are beautiful. And they're preaching a message of grace and truth, not law. With the law, Moses came the law. With Jesus Christ came grace and truth. That's what we need. We need people who are, we need leaders and speakers who are going to liberate us from our bondage and free us up to become more effective in our law, in our communities. Find our purpose. Yes. Fuel our passion. Find our purpose. That's not too much to ask of a leader. Someone said once, never trust a leader without a limp. That just means they have been through some stuff with God. And they've learned through their failures sometimes. It's okay. Peter, I think about, never walked the same after he denied the Lord. He walked with a limp. He was, at one point, he was, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll die with you. And all the others said the same thing. And you know, within a few hours, he was, who? Jesus, who? Never met the man. Don't know him. And then he went out and wept bitterly. He realized what he had done, and I don't think he ever walked. He walked with a limp from then on. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Someone who doesn't trust in themselves anymore. Someone who's leaning completely on the reliability of the Lord Jesus, who is leaning on the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them. That's what's important. And we know the ones who follow the Spirit and the ones who don't. I mean, I'm not going to give you a rewarmed sermon. I got to have something fresh from the fire. Because I think it's relevant. It's timely. The Holy Spirit has a timing for something that's applicable to where we are living at that moment. And He wants to bring that to our attention. Right? That's it. So, I like this. You know, don't forget. Immediately turn away and forget what you saw. Don't be like that. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer. That means a poetic performer of the word. I don't want to forget that I am sinless in His sight. I'm going to remember that every day. That's so contrary to what you've been told all these years. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. But that's why I'm here today, to tell you what has worked for me. What has lifted the heaviness from me and the weight. And I'm not going back. He has set me free. The problem with a cage is that the bird is familiar with the cage, even when you open the door. He becomes familiar with your restrictions, your limitations, and the Father is saying, nope, I want you out of the cage. I don't know if this is true or not, but an eaglet will stay in that nest, but the mama has put thorns at the bottom of the nest. And when they come to a certain weight, the thorns start to stick them. Why? They're no longer comfortable in the nest. It's going to encourage them to fly. That's interesting, isn't it? God doesn't want us to just stay in our nest. You were made to soar like eagles, like we worshiped this morning. I love looking out and seeing people engaged with the Father. It's almost as if they're no longer surrounded. Where are their surroundings? They're focused on Him. It's wonderful. That takes place here. And that's wonderful and beautiful. That we can see on the face of our Father. It's a slice of heaven is what it is. It really is. And like one brother Glenn was saying, we're not going to be preaching in heaven. We're going to just be worshiping and singing. There won't be no need for preaching, you know what I mean? Because we'll be there, you know. And some of them songs, like when we all get to heaven, won't have to be sung anymore either. Is there anything else up there that's important, Matthew, that I missed? I'm sure you would know. Something towards the front. Jesus became the perfect, mature, pleasing, sinless sacrifice for us. And we became in Him all that He is now. I've been preaching this the whole time. Your behavior is a result of your beliefs. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's a good scripture to remember. So it's how you think of yourself that's going to determine how you behave. Your belief is correct. Your behavior will be correct. It's going to be Christ-like as you see yourself in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Embrace that. Wonderful Jesus. We thank You for pulling down strongholds, deconstructing belief systems, demolishing things that exalt themselves against the experience of God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of what Christ has done for us. That we no longer think of ourselves as failures, inadequate, but that we are released from our bondage as we see You adequate and we see ourselves adequate in You. That we are sufficient in You, not in ourselves. And I thank You for that truth. You're going to set people free. I thank You already that it's happening as we speak. You are liberating us from the old shackles of the past. And I thank You for this, Father. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I'd like to close. Would you want to sing a song before we close?
Sure.
Let's do something.
You were the Word of God, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before me. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and rage. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name. Precious name.